Well, God is good. Someone thought so. God is good. All the time. Yes. Could break into a Don Moen song off the back of that. But we shan't just yet. Well, this morning we are picking up on a series, I should say starting a series that I introduced a couple of weeks ago, looking at spiritual practices and how we and why we should incorporate them in our lives. In the UK alone, last year, the spend on advertising was approximately 40 billion, billion pounds. 40 billion pounds on people trying to get you to buy their product, to get you to buy their service. Products, many of them very good, make your life easier. They'll make your life more efficient. They'll make things faster, make things better. And yet, in spite of all this technology, I'm guessing there are not many of you that want to go back to a wash tub and dolly, and you're quite happy with your electric washing machines. In spite of all these things in our lives, we're more busy, we're more stressed, we're more tired than ever. There seems to be a bit of a disconnect of what's going on in the world. All these things that make life easier for us, and yet, is life better? In some sense, in many senses, yes, but stress levels, are they going up? So this morning, we're looking at becoming a community of rest in a culture of hurry and exhaustion. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Quite a famous verse. Just in case you're taking notes, most of the references will be on the screen, although not necessarily the full verses in text. So I've just highlighted on some of these, some key phrases. But this one, Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This morning, I want us to grasp something of that. Jesus' promise that though we are weary, though we are burdened, we can know rest for our souls. Yeah, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that your word is truth, and that your word is life. And Lord, as we consider your word this morning, would you spark life in our hearts? Lord, would you help us to come up to the plumb line that is your word? Would you help us to align ourselves to the spirit level that is your word? Lord, that we would hear what you want to say to us, that we would be changed to be more like you because of your word. Amen. Amen. That verse in the Message translation reads like this. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. It's a slightly different take on that verse, but I think it fits in quite nicely with something that we've been looking at for a while now, just the whole principle of being an apprentice of Jesus. When Jesus called his disciples, he was calling them not just to follow him around, but he was calling them to be his apprentices, that they would become teachers, rabbis, like he was. He called them, and as was the teaching method of the day, he called them to be with him. For us, our first calling is to be with Jesus. We need to be with him. And as we spend time with him, we start to become like him. As we become like him, we are then able to do the things that he said, the things that he did, or the things that he would do if he were in our situation. So we spent a bit of time looking at what transforms us. And for most of you, this will be quite familiar now. But we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, Romans 12, chapter 2. And we looked at the fact that there are many different things in life that shape us, that shape our minds, that cause a transformation, either for good or for bad, over time. We've got the things that we do, the things that happen around us. The things we do habitually, they shape us, they change us. There's the people we keep company with. If you keep company with people that speak a certain way, you'll start to speak a certain way, even if you didn't in the start. If you keep company with people who go to certain places, who do certain things, you will inevitably end up being conformed to that pattern. The teachings you listen to, maybe not direct teaching, but the narratives we listen to, the films we watch, they shape the way we think. They shape the way, what do we think is good? What do we think is bad? What's the way of doing things? Through all that, the Holy Spirit works in us. And transformation doesn't happen instantly. It takes time. Transformation takes time, and it's really annoying. We want to be changed. I want to get it right just now. I want to shed my bad habits, but it takes time. And a lot of transformation happens through suffering. So, on this series that we're just starting on, we're looking at the practices that help us in our transformation. And so this week I want to talk about being transformed to be like Jesus through the practice of Sabbath. We live in a 24/7 world. In spite of all these new inventions, these things that help us, actually we become slaves to them. How many of us have got a phone that is on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it pings and we're drawn to it? The amount of money that is spent researching what sounds are going to make people pick this up when they get a notification. How can we increase the amount of time that people spend on their phone looking at our app, viewing our advertisers, making us more money? We end up sleeping less. I mean, electricity is brilliant, but it's just noticeable when we were camping a few weeks back. It gets dark, and yes, we've got torches and things, but the earlier it gets dark when you're camping, the earlier you go to bed, and you actually rest. We are physically tired. We're mentally tired. We're emotionally tired. You'll remember the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Have I missed any? I'm not sure. But it's very difficult to be those, to do those, when we're tired. I won't look. How many of you have had a rough day and you've been not very loving to the people closest to you? You're tired, you haven't slept well, and you answer back a bit sharper than really you intended to. You're not as patient, as kind as you might be. It's really difficult to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit when we are overtired. Sabbath is all about stopping. We like a little bit of Hebrew. The word there, Shabbat. The letters each represent something in Hebrew. So reading from right to left, the Shin represents something of divine power and sharpening. The Beit signifies a house or a dwelling. The Tav symbolizes a mark or a sign. And there's something in Sabbath that when you put all those together, that conveys the idea of divine rest within a sacred space, a demarked space. There's something about Sabbath that sharpens us, that when we rest, we are sharper for our work. So this morning, there are four elements of Sabbath that I want to briefly consider. There's the four elements that we typically see within the whole Hebrew culture. First of all, Sabbath is about stopping. Second, resting. Third, delighting. And fourth, worshipping. So, if you've got your Bibles to hand, let's turn to Genesis chapter 2. We'll read from verse 1. So we just had the creation account in chapter 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because he rested from all his work of creating that he had done. God, it says, stopped working on the seventh day. Now, did he stop because there was no more work to be done? Did he stop because his creating days had finished? The answer is no. He is still working. He is still creating. From the beginning of time, he has been creating. He is a creator by nature. But he stopped on the seventh day to create a pattern. When we look at that verse there on the screen, I've put the word rested in bold. The word there is he sabbathed. God, on the seventh day, he sabbathed. It was something he did. It wasn't just a name for a day. I'll have this day and I'll call it Sabbath. No, it's God rested. He stopped the work. He ceased. And in so doing, he set for us a pattern of life. Maybe you're familiar with the story that goes back to the French Revolution. 1789, I think, was the French Revolution. 4 years later, 1793, they decided, in order to get away from the pattern set by the Catholic Church and to increase productivity, they would go from a 7-day week to a 10-day week. So rather than having one day off in 7, one day off in 10. From a productivity point of view, it seems like a no-brainer. But actually, they found the hard way that this 7-day cycle is just built in to the universe, if you want to put it that way. After not very long, they found that sickness rates were going up. They found that mental health quality was going down. Suicide rates were going up. And it wasn't long before they reverted to a 7-day week. In fact, I was just reading about a survey the other day that said that for people who avidly keep a Sabbath day, they, on average, live 11 years longer than those who don't. And it's almost like if you keep a Sabbath, it gets added on to the end. There was a minister and philosopher in the early 1900s who said, if you go against the grain of the universe, you get splinters. If you don't rest, if you don't stop, if you don't Sabbath, you pay the consequences. Let's look over at Exodus chapter 20. In the Ten Commandments, this is where we find the command to Sabbath. And we'll read from verse 8 to 11. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigners residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. See, God commanded people to keep the Sabbath because we need it. We need to keep the Sabbath because it's important that we stop from our work. In a sense, many people argue, do we still need to keep Sabbath? Do we still need to have one day set aside? And in a sense, it's a bit like arguing, do I need to keep the law of gravity? Well, you can try and not keep the law of gravity, but sooner or later, you're going to come crashing down. And we see that. Roy was just telling me this before we started, not knowing what I was going to be speaking about, but a relative of his who has been working day in, day out for the last couple of weeks, hasn't had a break, and all of a sudden, they've just got to spend the day in bed to recuperate, because we are not built to work day in, day out, non-stop. We need, our bodies need time to stop. Our minds need time to stop. It's also interesting, just as an aside, that if you notice the number of words, if you scan down the page from the beginning of Exodus chapter 20, the number of words that are dedicated to each of the commandments, Sabbath gets the most. I'm not going to make a theological point out of that, but it's just an interesting note. Anyway, Mark chapter 2. This really, Jesus talking to his disciples and the Pharisees that were questioning him. He's been questioned about what's lawful to do on the Sabbath. And he said to them, Mark chapter 2, verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Sabbath is a gift from God. The chance to stop, it's God's gift to us. We don't have to carry on day in, day out. God says, please, stop. One day in seven, just stop. But how many of you know that we can stop, but it doesn't necessarily mean we're resting? Sabbath, yes, is stopping, but it's also important to rest. Physically, mentally. I have a phone issued to me from my employer, which I have on while I'm at work. Come the weekend, I switch it off. If they want to get hold of me because something has gone drastically wrong, they're going to have to find my emergency contact number to get my personal mobile phone. I'm not accessible at the weekend. Because if I've... I'll just check emails. I'll just see who's pinging messages through. Mentally, doing that sort of thing is just as much a strain on you as actually being at work. We need time to rest. In Exodus chapter 20 there, it references the fact that we rest because God rested having done his work in creation. Let's have a look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. This is where we find the second account about 40 years later of the Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 to 15. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servants, nor your ox, nor your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Why is that? Remember, verse 15, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. In Exodus, he said, remember the Sabbath. In Deuteronomy here, he says, observe the Sabbath. The Hebrew word there has something to do with a sense of guarding. Keep watch over. Guard the Sabbath. You only need to guard things that are susceptible to being infringed upon. He says, guard the Sabbath. Why? Because you need it. You were slaves in Egypt. You were slaves to powers that kept you for their own purposes. You were slaves to the pharaohs who were using you to build up their kingdom, to make known their accomplishments. I mean, you just look at the pyramids that are still standing to this day, the sphinxes. You can't build those things without a lot of slave labor. Slaves don't get a lot of rest. They didn't have their working time directive, which says no more than however many hours a week, this number of days, paid annual leave every year. None of that. He said, remember what you were in Egypt. And we extrapolate that to ourselves. Remember what we were under the power of sin. He says, the foreigners among you should rest. Your servants must rest. Don't you become a slave driver. Everybody needs rest. You were a slave and had no rest. Don't you become a slave driver and give others no rest. Rest is important. The problem of Egypt is that it wasn't just a physical place, but it's a mentality. It gets in our mind. Just got to keep going, just keep going, just keep going. A little bit more, a little bit more. We need to rest. Egypt isn't just around us. Egypt is in us. We need a line in the sand that says, this far, and then I stop. I have enough. I don't need more. I can rest. I don't need more things. I don't need to prove myself. I can rest. I have enough. I am enough. That's why God gives us Sabbath. You may well remember that in Genesis chapter 1, it says, God created the light and he saw the light and he said the light was good. He separated and he said it was good. He created and it was good. He created and it was good. The word there is tov. And tov in Hebrew has a sense of goodness, but also has a sense of beauty. There is much evil in the world. You don't need me to tell you that. Just flick on the news. Walk through a town centre, city centre. You pick up there is much evil in the world. God calls us to Sabbath so that we stop, and so that we rest, but so that we delight in what is good. God created the world and said, it's good, it's beautiful. And yet all too easily we are distracted by the things that are not good. All too easily our focus is drawn to the things that are evil. In delighting on the Sabbath, God gives us a time to put the sorrows aside and to focus on other things. John 16:33. The promise that we claim from the Lord. No. It's a statement of fact. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. Thanks, Lord. That's not a declaration I want to hear. In this world you will have trouble. However, John 15, he says, I've told you this. He was talking to him, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Trouble, sadness, sorrow, it's inevitable. But joy is a choice. Sabbath is a discipline of celebration. It's a discipline of focusing on what is good. It's a discipline of rejoicing. It's a delivery mechanism, if you like. It's a way that we can experience joy. We take time to focus on the good things in life. Genesis chapter 2 there. God Sabbathed. He rested. And there is a sense in which he took delight in what he had made. We need to celebrate the good things that we have, the good things that we've experienced, the good things that God has done for us. Because you'll know this phrase, comparison is the thief of joy. If we start looking at what other people have got, whatever, we can lose the joy of the things that we've been given. For us as a family, Sabbath begins with dinner on Friday evening. And one of the things we do over that meal is we celebrate the good things of the past week. What has been my highlight of the past week? What has been the thing? And it's amazing. We can have done something that's like a real standout thing. But by the time you get to Friday, it's like, oh, what did we do this week? I can't remember. And it's not until we talk about and think about the things that we've done over the week that we had, oh yeah, we did that on Tuesday. That was good. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. Only a week and we forget about the good things that we've done. We need Sabbath as a time to stop the world. Yes. Hear that phrase sometimes, stop the world, I want to get off. We need to stop the world sometimes. Stand back and say, God, you are good and I delight in all that you have done. I'm keeping an eye on a clock and I'm going to have to go through this fast. We stop our work. We take time to rest, to delight in God's creation, what he's given us. Inevitably, that must lead us to worship. of the one who has given us. I've been reading through 2 Kings at the moment, just each morning, just reading a few chapters. And it struck me how some of the foreign nations that were interacting with the Israelites, they said, find out what the God of that hill, the God of that area, the God of that mountain, the God of those valleys, what are the demands of the God of that geographical area? Because the nations had gods that were tied to geographical areas. Not so with the Lord. In Exodus chapter 16, if I can find it, Exodus chapter 16, verse 23, God was commanding the people. This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So, bake your food, boil your food, whatever. The point being, God didn't say, this square footage, this area here is devoted to me. No, this time is devoted to me. God doesn't set places where we have to meet with him. But he's given us a time to meet with him. Yes, I know God is with us all the time, everywhere present. But if you're anything like me, when you're working, you're going about your day, you're focused on a task. I'm focused on writing this spreadsheet. I'm focused on writing this report. I'm focused on building this wall. I'm focused on... But God says, set aside some time that we can be together. It's a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Holy, we often think about that purely in a moral sense. There is a sense of morality around holiness, but really it's about something being set apart for a particular purpose. You could liken it to, how many of you have got the nice cutlery or the nice china? The cutlery and the chinaware that only comes out on special occasions. We have the nice cutlery, and when we have the nice cutlery, we dress up nice and we use it on a Friday evening, we use it maybe on birthdays or celebrations. We have the nice cutlery. It's in a sense holy. It's set apart for a particular type of meal. Sabbath is a time set apart for us to stop, for us to rest, for us to delight in what God has done, but also a time devoted, set apart for God, to be with God. Sabbath invites us to slow down. You know, the hurry and joy are pretty much mutually exclusive. You can't really enjoy something when you're in a hurry. If you really want to enjoy a meal, if you really want to enjoy a nice glass of wine, if you really want to enjoy something, you don't just, I've got to get it, you know, shovel it down, knock it. No, you take time. Hurry and joy do not go together. In giving us the Sabbath, God is inviting us to slow down. Sabbath tells us who we are. We are not the sum of what we produce. We are not the sum of our labours at work. We are not the sum of the things we do. But we are who we are loved by. God said, I love you, that's your identity. I'm not bothered about what you do. That doesn't define who you are. You are who you are loved by. In many ways, Sabbath is an act of defiance. It's an act of defiance against a world order that pushes you and crushes you. You might remember when we were talking about, I think it was the J.B. Phillips translation, when we were looking at apprenticeship some months ago, about being transformed by the renewing of the mind. The J.B. Phillips translation said, do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. To stop, to rest, to be, is an act of defiance in a world that pushes us to want more, to have more, to do more. I am not the sum of what I do. I am not the sum of what I have. It's an act of defiance. Finally, Sabbath is a means to an end. What is the end? That we just feel chilled out and live 11 years longer than the average person? The end is that we know God. That we become a community that know our God. Not only that we know Him, but that we are like Him. That we are a community who live like our God. So, some points for reflection over the coming week. Is Sabbath a part of my life rhythm? Do I take time once every 7 days to stop? Traditionally, the Sabbath went from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. For the Christian church, for however many hundred years, it has tended to be on a Sunday for various Roman political reasons. For a lot of people, working shift work, nursing in hospitals, in care homes, law enforcement, firemen, in a whole rafts of society where things don't just stop over the weekend. But are we able to put something in our life which is a fixed marker that says, on this day I dedicate myself and my time to God, to enjoying Him and His creation? Is Sabbath part of my current life rhythm, in whatever way that looks? What obstacles get in the way of Sabbath? There are obstacles. Some of them are practical, like shift work and that kind of thing. Some of them are emotional. Do I have an emotional need to keep going, to not stop, to keep doing, to keep being? What gets in the way of Sabbath, and what can I do about that? Do I need to put boundaries in place to help me say yes to God's Sabbath? It's very easy. If you've ever had a garden or seen a garden or anything like that, you will know that it's very easy for things to encroach. You walk down some of the footpaths even where there's grass up and you see the grass encroaching on the footpath. It just grows subtly, it grows, it grows, it grows. Sometimes we need boundaries in place to stop things encroaching. Lord, do I need to have some boundaries in my life so that I can stop, so that I can rest, so that I can delight in all that you've done, and so that I can worship you? Yeah, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your law is not designed to be burdensome, but actually it's life-giving. Lord, for each of us here, I ask that you would help us to step into a new level of resting in you. Whatever that looks like, whatever the next step is, Lord, would you help us to take a step in the direction of you? Lord, that we would live from a place of rest. Lord, that we would be rested so that we can be loving. That we would be rested so that we can be kind. That we would be rested so that we can be patient. Lord, that we would exhibit the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Jesus, we say, make us like you. But Lord, we ask, would you help us to live your way, to walk your way? May the God of rest fill you with his peace and his presence as you rest in him. Amen.